Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Good to be together. As we begin this time of God's Word to us. But this morning, as was read just moments ago, Jude 3, we're going to talk about contending for the faith. I think it's a timely appeal. It's a timely thing to discuss. We talk about the faith. Jude verse 3. We read, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints." God had Jude write this. And it's in Scripture for a reason, no matter what anybody else may try to say, no matter what anyone else thinks. It is the Word of God. And in Jude's appeal, his appeal, he says, is to the saints, to the church, to contend earnestly for the faith. We're not talking about faith in general, like Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about the faith. There's an article in front of it. And that article makes the faith, it's singular. It's not plural. It is singular in nature. Which tells us that the faith is a standard. There is a standard of teaching. There is one single doctrine. And so Jude writes and he says, "I'm appealing that you contend earnestly." You see that idea of contend? We get our English word agony from that word. That you agonized earnestly. That you vigorously. That you strain and you stress. For this thing called the faith. And that is something that I know it concerns me and I pray it does you, that as we go along in time, are we really contending for the faith? Have we stopped that? I mean, he back up in the first part of the verse, he said, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation." Common. There's a common salvation. Jude had it. Got it from God. Jude had it. He's writing to the saints. The saints have this common salvation. They share in the same salvation. But in that sharing, the common salvation is tied to the faith. And so when he writes, "Making every effort to write about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith." In order to share in a common salvation, it has to be tied to the faith. One standard of teaching, one standard of a belief system. That's what we're dealing with here. That's what Jude is dealing with. When we talk about the common salvation being involved in the faith, it is that standard that you believe in and that you live by. If you notice at the end of verse 3, he says that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Once for all. It was revealed once for all. It was expected to be continued in. You know, when we talk about once for all, there's no more coming. From the writing of Jude, there is no more revision of anything. There's nothing else further coming. The faith was once for all handed down to the saints. They got it. That a first initial teachings of Scripture, they have it. And so when we talk about once for all, Jesus died once for all. You can find it in Hebrews 7, Hebrews 9, and Hebrews 10. His death was once, but for all. Well, the faith was delivered once for all too. It was handed down, and it's not going to be anymore. So if He tells us, and He does, to contend earnestly for the faith, that means you and I have a known fact. It is taught from God's Word. Now, knowing that, the faith is not subject to anyone's revision. That's what He's telling us. You and I need to agonize. You and I need to put an intense struggle within our lives. You and I need to be vigorously pursuing this thing called the faith and what that means. Now let me tell you this. And I mean no disrespect to anybody. I'm just using this as an illustration. Why do you think we have so many denominations? Did it come from contending for the faith? Is that how they arrived at everything and where they come from? How come we have so many views with one set of Scripture? What is going on? Well, it tells me, and it should tell you, that we're not contending for the faith. We're just kind of picking and choosing out there. Something sounds good, something sounds interesting, you know. And that's the way I go. Jude said, I'm talking about a common salvation. And you got to contend for the faith that's tied to that common salvation. It was once delivered and it was handed down to the saints. The saints had it. It is known. It was a known fact back then. Now, I want you to leave your bookmark here because I'm going to be coming back to 2 John, which is right by this. But I want you to come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And here's what Paul has to address the church with. He's using him and Apollos as an illustration in the things previous. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul writes, Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. You may learn not to exceed what's written. What is written is for our benefit. What is written is the faith that was delivered, that was handed down once for all. And so Paul reminds the Corinthians, I don't want you to exceed what's written. Don't go beyond Scripture. Don't go beyond your own thought processes. Don't do that. Because what happens is that when people become arrogant, they start challenging one another because they expanded the borders of what God wanted to keep things in. Anytime anyone wants to push the borders and expand them out a little bit further than what is written, something is wrong with them. And you watch, they're the ones that become boastful. They're the ones that start taking challenging concepts to people of God. And so Paul said, I've applied these to me and Apollos. Apollos and I don't exceed what's written. And we're wanting you to learn, don't you exceed what's written either. Why is that such a value? What is the purpose of that? Come back, as I said a while ago, to 2 John. It's right before Jude there. Look at 2 John. Look at verse 9. And this is what the Apostle John pens. You and I were talking about the same thing again. Look at verse 9. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Did you pick up on a couple of words there? The teaching of Christ. We're talking about something specific. And if anyone comes and they go too far and don't abide in the teaching of Christ, they don't have God and they don't have the Son. And John's having to remind them back here. Back here, it was handed down. The faith was handed down once and for all to all the saints. It was known, and John is appealing for the same thing here, that you go too far, you won't have God. And you won't have the Son. And so you and I can see that you and I, we need to appeal. We need to contend. We need to go after the faith. We need to be focused right here to make certain what we believe is what God said we ought to believe. How we come about our instructions, it needs to come from here and nothing else. It's contained in Scripture. Our problem is, a lot of times when we read Scripture, we get so familiar with some verses and we think we've got it. You know what we fail to recognize? The height and the depth and the breadth and the width of the knowledge of God. We stay so surface sometimes rather than contend for the faith. What is it really all about? Why do we need to earnestly do that, agonize for it? We need to make sure that we stay within the boundaries of the Lord Jesus, a God. Well, knowing that, I want you to come to Ephesians 4, and we're going to end our time right here. Ephesians chapter 4. And it's real interesting in Ephesians 4, Paul talks about the faith. This one singular standard of teaching. You and I were called through the gospel of God to Jesus Himself, through Jesus to God. And in that calling, we are urged to make certain that we walk worthy of that. You're not up to just believe whatever you want to believe, think whatever you want to think. There is a containment that we need to walk worthy in. Look real quick at verse 13. Here's the product of what they're going after. He says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. What is he trying to get us to? What is he trying to get the body of Christ here to? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. We need to agree on this thing called the faith. And that knowing what the faith is, the knowledge of the Son of God, a true knowledge. See, when we unite around the faith, that's where we began to have knowledge of who Jesus really is, and things began to shine. Well, knowing that, look at verse 14. He says, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. What are we not to be? Children. You listen to a child. Child's got something almost every day, something new. They do. They investigate things. They hear something new. You know what? In the church, he doesn't expect us to be a bunch of children. I've known people in Christ, they're still dealing with the same thing that they were dealing with 20 years ago. They've never got beyond that. They have patterns that they follow. And you can count on them to follow those patterns. Because they never mature. And the reason people don't mature is because they're not contending earnestly for the faith. They don't see it as vital, as important. And so he tells us here, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves. Like I said, children come up with something all the time. There's a new thing. Sometimes you have to teach them. That's not right. It's got their interest. Well, in the church, we can't be allowing people to to just go after whatever the next wave comes in. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you, every little while, there's a new thing that hits. Oh, and it starts passing through everybody, and it's new, and everybody starts jumping on. Sounds good, looks good. You know what? You need to contend for the faith so you don't get on the next wave of something going through. He also says, and about every wind of doctrine. What do you think's out there? There's a lot of doctrine out there. But it's not the doctrine of the faith. And so you and I need to mature that we don't need to see that every wind of doctrine that blows through somewhere, that's not where we go after. Here's how it's done, and I want you to see the end of verse 14. This is the power of human persuasion. End of verse 14. By the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Let me point out something to you. You see that word trickery? That word literally means throwing dice. Trickery. Now I got some loaded dice and they always come up sevens. That's the trickery of men. Hey, why don't you throw these dice over here and let's just see what number comes up. Trickery of men. They want to play dice games with you. They want to make up things as they see it. And they'll use it and you're going to lose every time. He calls it the trickery of men, craftiness and deceitful scheming. They're sly. They make it sound like it's from God. They make you think it's of God. And they may even use the Word of God. But if you and I are not contending for the faith, you're susceptible to this craftiness. And brethren, we can't afford that. Because it's going to cost you dearly if you do. And I'm trying to put something under us that you and I don't follow the trickery of men. That you and I don't get carried away by all these winds of doctrine and these waves that keep coming through, that you need to keep yourself firmly. I need to keep myself firmly grounded right here, and let's don't go beyond that. This is the bookmark ends, the Word of God. And within that Word of God, you got to put forth some effort and some agony to figure this thing out. That's called a sincere faith. And you and I need to do that. You know, Paul reminded the elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 30. He talked about these people that come along. They speak perverse things to draw the people to follow them. Yeah, it happens out there. You and I can't afford to do that. Well, knowing that, if you look down with me in verse 17, and, you know, I just hit me, Colossians 2:3. You know why Colossians 2:3 is there? He's talking about Jesus. And he, speaking of Jesus, in Him, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know what God has done? He's taken Jesus and all the wisdom that is from God and all the knowledge of Jesus is hidden in Him. That means it's not laid bare just for people to come along and pick up. You got to seek that stuff out. You got to make certain that what you believe in is from the Word of the Lord. Because God said it's all in Jesus hidden. And you know, when you think about something being hidden in Jesus, it means I'm giving you one direction to look. It simplifies everything. You don't have to worry about who wrote this book. You don't have to worry about this new wave of teaching. You don't have to worry about anything else coming along because I made it simple. They are hidden in Christ Jesus. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You and I need to contend earnestly for the faith. It was once delivered. It was once handed down to all the saints. And it can be known no matter what anyone says today. Or God lied to every one of us in here. That's the other option. It's there. The only question is, do we contend? Do we go after this thing called the faith and see what it's about? Well, verse 17, he said, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind." Gentiles. Paul's writing this to the church. He uses the term Gentile here, referring to anyone that's outside of Christ. The majority of our world is outside of Christ. And so, when he says, "I don't want you to walk, I don't want you to be living, I don't want you to be getting your information from the world, from the Gentiles, you know, and act and think like they act and think." Why? Because first off, they do it in the futility of their mind. This is how their thoughts direct them. And when you talk a mindset that's futile, it's a mindset based on emptiness. Some way they reason and they deduct. And it's futile. They have no basis of God. They don't understand anything about the faith. So, their minds are futile. I heard one the other day. We've been wanting to watch this series that's coming on about the earth, the seven wonders of the earth, and I don't know if you watched any of that or not. They lost me the very first minutes. You know what he said? 200 million years ago, when this... You know what Scripture tells us? All you got to do is go back and follow the genealogies, follow the time frame. This earth is only a little over 6,000 years old. And then they took it one step further. It was 200 million years old. And then 200 million years before that, before man comes, there was... And I'm thinking, how do you know before man got here it was 200 million years? But see, the futility of their mind. The world has their own thought processes. And the Lord Jesus calls us, "I don't want you to walk according to the course of the world. I don't want you to walk like the Gentiles, the outsiders walk. Don't live in their mind frame." Because their mind frame is futile. It's empty. It has no results as far as God's concerned. Look at verse 18 right quick. He says, "Being darkened in their understanding." Their understanding is dark at best. What do you think these are written here for, brethren? You and I need to realize that the outside world, this information world that we live in, the best thing going on in their understanding is darkness. You know, this helps us see when you go back and you read places like Acts 2, Verses 41 and 42. Acts 2, Peter and those apostles stood before a nation that day. And they revealed the Word of God, the mystery of everything God was after through this Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 41, those who received His Word were baptized. And there that day were added 3,000 souls. Well, that seems like a lot. And it would be to us because of our group or what we think. Boy, 3,000 baptisms, you know, would that be great? But we're talking over 1.5 million people being preached to that day. And out of 1.5 million or more, only 3,000 received the Word. What did it say about the rest of them? They didn't care about the faith. They didn't care about the teaching. Word of God was not what they wanted. And so He tells us about those who received the Word and were baptized. He tells us they were continually, this is Acts 2:42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Continually. What were they contending for? What were they devoted to? They were devoted to the apostles' teachings. That's what they wanted to hear. And they were doing it daily. And they were fellowshipping one another. They had this common salvation as a result. Those 3,000. There was a common salvation that they shared in. And they were contending for the faith. Tell us what the teachings are. And they took their eating together and they devoted themselves to prayer. What do you think their diligence was? Contending for the faith. That's what we're going to do. And then he says, don't you walk like the outsiders live. Don't you live in their mindset. Don't you understand they're darkened in their understanding. And if you think of someone as darkened in their understanding, you want their wisdom? You tell me today, what does the world have to offer us in terms of God? Tell me. It's not going to save my soul. And so Paul is warning the church, don't you walk like they walk. Their mind is futile. They're darkened in their understanding. You know, when a person's darkened in understanding, they can't discern what's true and what's not true. They have no discernment at all. It just all sounds good. There's those children carried away by every wind of doctrine. You know, by the surf of the sea. He says, verse 18, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. Now, that's not my word. The outsiders are excluded from God's life. How in the world are they going to tell us how to live? How are we going to get that from people that are shut out of God's life? And people that are shut out from God, you want their input to tell you how to live? You want their input to tell you what human behavior is? Brethren, if we get anything in our hearts this morning, we need to contend for the faith. We need to put our nose in our minds and our hearts set right here. And Paul's saying, don't you let that thing expand into other areas because they're excluded from the life of God. And you know why they're excluded from the life of God? He says the next thing, because of the ignorance that's in them. They are ignorant because they have no idea how God operates. They don't know. They don't understand that. They claim to have knowledge. But their knowledge is ignorance. And we want to listen to people. Let me give you a quick illustration of it. And this can happen. And I do this because it protects us. You know, right now, you take the political scene that's going on in our country. And boy, people get glued to that. They think of that. They spend time on the internet looking up this, looking up that. And it's going 500 miles an hour. You know what? None of them believe and know and understand. God's in control of the whole thing. They don't see that. They don't see that hate blinds their minds. Hate blinds your eyes. They don't see any of that. And so it doesn't matter now if you lie or you don't lie. You've gotten to a point you can't tell the difference. And it's easy for you and I to get caught up into that. And boy, we start thinking about it. We start dealing with it. And it starts driving us nuts when we look at it. And we get angry. Wait a second. From what I still read, Jesus is Lord. From what I still read, God is a God over all creation. If I would contend earnestly for the faith, I will come to see exactly what God is doing and can understand. I may not know His ways, but I know one thing. I can trustingly commit my heart to Him. Because whatever is going to happen is going to happen according to His will. But when you're excluded from the life of God and you got a lot of ignorance, it leads you into all these other patterns. And there's these waves that surge. don't know what's coming next, but I'll tell you this. If we would keep ourselves right here and contend for the faith, we'll be a lot better off, don't you think? See, they don't have an idea that the Lord's in control. They don't believe it. And there's some of my own brethren that don't believe the Lord's in control of everything either. They don't see that. Well, he says, being darkened in their understanding, verse 18, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They're hard-hearted people in things of God. That's why they can't understand it. That's why they can't know it. They have no idea of what is proper and what's improper. They're hard-hearted. Here's why, verse 19. And they, having become callous. They're insensitive. That's why you can't talk to them about anything of God, because they're calloused. They have no feeling. They have no sense of who God is. They've gotten themselves worked up so far over here, things of God doesn't even matter to them anymore. Well, let me ask you this. How many Bibles just in America are available to people? How many Bibles? Well, I can't put a number on it. But you know what I do know? Every man and woman in this country has access to a Bible. Somewhere, some way. Why aren't we using them? Because no one's contending for the faith. And sometimes it can be within the church, you know, that we don't want to know either. Sometimes we look at where we're at here and we say, well, you know, we're just one of many. I want us to be one contending. I want us to contend for the faith. That whenever I'm off base in something, whenever my mind gets a little bit skewed on something, that I can pick up the Word of God, or someone could share with me the Word of God and they say, here's what the Word of the Lord says, and I'll say, yes, that's what I need to do. I will contend for the faith, the teaching, this body of doctrine that God gave to Jesus, who gave it to His apostles, and those apostles went out preaching it. It was once handed down to the saints. It is a known standard. We're just abandoning it as quick as we can as time goes by. And sometimes, brethren of who we call the church, we're not even interested in that. We're not contending for it. We just allow the next new thing come along and that's the direction we go. You go too far. You don't have God. You don't have Christ. We've got to stick within it. And you know what? This doesn't make me right as far as what I believe. What makes me right and what makes you right is staying within the confines of this book. While recently I was on one of my trips, I had a couple, young couple, came to me. Get put on the spot a lot of times, and they said, I want to know, do you believe it's okay to spank your children? I've gotten a little wiser over the years. Most of the time I'd have blurted it out. And I said, well, what do you believe? And they said, don't you know it damages their psyche? It's been proven in the medical world that it damages them. Oh. I said, well, I gave them a couple of places to go look at. And I used Proverbs, wisdom of God. You go look at it. This was on a Sunday morning. I said, you come back tonight, we'll talk about it. Okay. They went and looked at it. They never came back and talked to me. Now, I'm using that for an illustration. It says it. I don't care what psychologists say. They're not contending for the faith. Their mind is futile. Their darkness and their understanding is there. They're excluded from the life of God. They've got hardened hearts. They're callous. You can't get anything to them. And so I'm appealing to you, the church, that you individually contend earnestly for the faith. He says in 19, and they having become callous have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Yeah. When you give yourself to sensuality, you're going to go after what you feel no matter what anybody says or thinks. This is the way I feel about it. And when you go after your sensuality, it's going to have some impurity involved, and it's all because of greed. Don't you tell me I can't do that. Yeah, greed. I want for me. I want it to be about me. That's what this is about. And so God tells Jude, we have a common salvation, and it's tied to the faith. And I appeal to you, Jude says, that you contend, agonize earnestly for the faith that was once handed down to the saints for all. And that's what we go after. And so my appeal to you this morning, I pray that every one of us are committed to letting the Word of the Lord be the Word of the Lord and stop listening to what the world has to say. I'm going to preach next Sunday night. I've already got the backup lesson to this one, okay? Because next Sunday night we're going to talk about wisdom. And I'm going to show you why you can't take in the influx of the world. You know, sometimes, and I mean this too in kindness, sometimes people will come up to Carrie and myself and they'll say, hey, you need to preach on this. Well, it might be a hot topic at the moment, but it's not a hot topic in Scripture. But they think you ought to address it. No, we need to address the Word of God. And we need to line up right there. And if you've got a sincere faith in it, it will keep you on track and you won't have to worry about that other stuff. Spend the rest of your life contending earnestly for the faith, the teaching, the one thing that'll get you to heaven. And that's my appeal. If there's anything we can do,